You're obsessed with the Connie Fife Show. It's about a lifestyle shift to move up or out.
Hey, what's your jam? What's the one thing that really drives you? What makes you unstoppable?
It's about opening a new door to live your dream.
People give up way too early on their dreams.
It's about enjoying the journey. It's about keeping it real.
Damn, now the interviewee is interviewing the interviewer. I like this.
It's all about you.
I knew there was something else I wanted to do. Stop taking shit so seriously. Y'all can do this. Take an outrageous look at life and laugh.
This is the Connie Fife Show.
We love your voice. We love your jam. You need to be on radio.
And now your host, Connie Fife.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're having a great week. This is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, and you are here with the Connie Fife Show. We are super excited because every single week we get to bring you those who we refer to as the crazy ones, the folks that have really put themselves out there as lifestyle entrepreneurs. They have built businesses and they're doing their thing and they're doing exactly what they love to be doing. And they're here to help you do the same. So today we have with us, he was an actor. He was in the entertainment industry for over 20 years. And then he turned from that industry to an executive career and job search coach. Definitely a big difference there. So we're going to learn more about that in a couple of minutes. He's also an award-winning author. He's won over 10 international and national awards. So I'm really curious to hear more about that. And he is a national speaker. And as a speaker, he is sharing more on your career search and what that might be and what that looks like for you. So let's bring in right now to the studio, Nathan Perez.
Hey, hi, Connie. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm really excited that you're here. I was looking through a lot of your information. And one, I know we want to talk about your book, The 20-Minute Networking Meeting. I want to make sure folks see that. But what I was really curious when I first saw networking, I thought, well, people used to tell me I could work a room like nothing else. And then I started thinking, okay, what is networking? How has it changed? Because, I mean, nobody's worked a room for a very long time now because of COVID.
Right.
So what does networking look like in the new space, in the new COVID space?
Right. It's a really good question. Maybe let me go back to for what you first said. You know, what is this networking thing?
Yeah.
We hear about it all the time, right? We hear about it all the time. And you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. And there's your goals and how many people and so forth. But maybe we should start with actually what networking is not. Because I believe what it is not is what most of us believe that it is. And what networking is not is being all, you know, slick and smooth and
being salesy,
and dropping names and all that sort of thing.
Right.
But what we've done, though, is that we've networking sort of has a negative connotation to it. And I think what we've done is we've sort of pinned behaviors to the word. So
because some people could do it well, and there's other people who just totally run away from it. It's I can't do that.
So we're going to redefine what that word really means. So it's not about being slick and smooth and salesy and all those different things. What it really, really is just the obtainment of information and information exchange. That's all that networking really is. Now, there are many different purposes for networking and many different outcomes for networking. But if you really think about a networking meeting, from the beginning of that meeting to the end of that meeting, it's just the information. And from there, we take that information and then we do what we do with it, which brings us to the outcomes. But really, it's just about the obtainment or the exchange of information.
Okay. So, I've done networking training with people, something that we're so afraid to do it. And like you said, just obtain information. And networking events really aren't the place to sell. It's to build those relationships. So something as simple that I would say to people when I did sales training, and I would say, put 10 pennies in your pocket or even 5. And before the end of the night, I want you to very strategically select who you want to talk to. But like you said, collect that information, you know, ask them questions, make it about them. So, right. So then
I was going to say, when it comes to a networking, like even a networking event, if you were there to be salesy, then really you've turned it into a sales networking event or a sales event, because that's what you're really doing. But when it comes to networking and just the obtainment and the exchange of information, well, then that opens the doors wide open to whatever you want the networking to be ultimately. So if it's around job search and career development, you may be talking mm-hmm. to people and asking questions about what their organization looks like, how it's structured. Maybe they worked at different organizations before that. You'd learn more about those different things. But then when you walk away from there, you have information about those organizations. So a case in point is that if you learn that a company is beginning to expand or they're growing, that mm-hmm. should tell you a lot about, well, hey, there might be job opportunities. If it's for sales or business development, you might learn about how individuals mm. or maybe even their organizations, if it's like business to business,
right.
If they're expanding or growing, then they might need services or products, but it's still coming from the information. And I don't want to forget the COVID thing. Do you want to come back to that or should I mention that?
Let's hold that for a minute, because I did want to ask, you know, and again, I was reading in your book too, that networking is so important. And you even mentioned that 70 to 80% of jobs are obtained through networking.
Yeah, 70 to 80% of jobs. It's kind of a crazy thing. So, and that comes actually from the US Bureau of Labor Statistics. Between 70 and 80% of jobs come through the people that we know. And of course, the people that we know comprise our network. And anybody that we might meet through them is actually our extended network. Now, we hear statistics and numbers like all the time. But this is a really important one. And if it didn't really strike you, then here's a different way of looking at it. 70 to 80% of all jobs are not posted. Okay, 70 to 80% of jobs are not posted. mm-hmm. And what this makes up is what's called the invisible or the hidden job market. And, you know, if you've not heard of it before, for those of you that are listening or watching, it's 70 to 80%, right? Not posted. What that means is that if you've ever had an experience or know somebody who's had an experience where they say, I can't even get a phone call, much less an interview.
Right.
This is why.
Yes.
So 70 to 80% of jobs. There was another point that I wanted to bring together with this that kind of pulls the whole point together, kind of escaped my mind. But this is why the relationship building is so important. The other 20 to 30% of jobs that are available mm-hmm. and posted online are your competition.
So if you could just give a couple tips. So you're saying the jobs aren't posted, 70, 80% are not posted. I'm someone who's looking for a career, say with a publishing company. How would I go about then building that relationship with someone within that company or within that field, you know, that area of expertise so I can land that job? So if it's not being posted or published, how do I find out about it?
Right. So the idea is LinkedIn is a really, really great tool for this. It works on the premise of 3 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, more often than not, we somehow are one way or another connected to them, to that person through that 3 degrees. Now, there's such thing as going to a complete stranger first. And that's something that we really encourage, you know, everybody to go and do. But yeah. LinkedIn, you would do a search, maybe be publishing industry. If you have an exact title, then you would type in that exact title and you start looking for who you're connected to through that network. If you find someone who directly works there, what will happen is it'll pop up in the profile and you'll see other people that you have in common. And then from there, you can ask for what would be called a warm introduction so that person may introduce you to that other person. Right. But if you had absolutely no connection, then you would go to that complete stranger. And since we're talking about tips, what I would say here is a cold message, a LinkedIn or even networking request needs to be all of about 4 sentences long, 5 sentences tops, because time tends to be the deciding factor when it comes to accepting requests. So in an email, what you would just structure out is who you are, what it is you're looking for, how much time you need, and just that, you know, you'd like to ask 3 or 4 questions about something.
Right.
And the reason you want it to be short is, you know, any of us have been in this position where we get an email and it's really, really long.
Yes.
But if time is the deciding factor, Yeah, exactly. People look at it and go, oh, I don't know if I have time to read all of this right now. But a short email will allow someone to read it just to knock it out of the way as something that can or can't be dealt with right now. Mm-hmm. And if your email is specific in the way that I said, who you are, what you're looking for, you know, what you want to talk about, 20 minutes worth of time, then it's really, really specific. And people tend to go for those meetings. 20 minutes is not a lot of time altogether.
No, it's not. I mean, people want it quick. They want it fast. They want bite-sized nuggets. And again, myself, I get those emails all the time. And literally, if it's past the first paragraph, I'll admit to it. I'm like, delete, because I just don't want to read through that any further. Tell me who you are really quick and get to the point, get my attention. And that's what really works. And especially on LinkedIn, you're only allowed so many characters, and you know, they do that intentionally. So, right. You know, so you don't get long, so you don't get lengthy. And we do the same thing with the show. Our show used to be an hour long and we used to be on live radio. We moved it down to 20, you know, 30 minute stops. So we have time for, you know, our sponsors. And so that's it. And again, it's really giving those nuggets. So speaking of those sponsors, we need to take a really quick break so we can hear from them, and we'll be right back. The Connie Fife Show is heard everywhere. You can find The Connie Fife Show on most of your favorite networks. It's time to now recognize and thank our major networks for all of their support. In the house, we have Conscious Business Radio, C-Suite Radio, Transformation Radio, iHeart Radio. We are also heard on Google Play, Apple Radio, Stitcher, and so many more that I just can't keep up with them all. I'm Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva. Learn more about our gym and how we can work together at my fancy schwanky website, ConnieFifeShow.com. I'll see you over there. Until then, like, share. Now back to the show. We are back. And, you know, some of the other work that you do, I just want to come back to and let everybody know that we are talking with Nathan Perez about the 20-minute networking meeting, one of his award-winning books that he is out traveling the country and speaking about it right now. Nathan, I know that you're doing a lot of online programs as well, but I was really curious, your book comes in four different editions for the executive, the graduate, the professional, and the veterans edition.
Right.
What's the difference? I mean, how is that messaging different for these different, you know, layers of individuals?
Right. Okay. Simply put, they're exactly the same book, but written in context for each respective readership. So for example, executives, for someone who's got 10 plus years of executive leadership, maybe P&L, team, whatever it may be, probably wouldn't want to read a book in context for veterans, where it's aimed more at people who are coming out of the military or the civil workforce into the civilian workforce. And same thing with graduates. So they're actually all the same. There's a bunch of stories, there's a ton of examples, and a lot of expert advice that are throughout. And literally from book to book, they're all in the same spot, but they're just different stories and different examples that speak to each different reader.
Oh, that was excellent. That was an excellent way of breaking it down, because again, like you said, everybody has their own verbiage and what they're looking at are their different level, in their career. So yeah, that was a really great way to break that down for them. So where do you see the industry going? I mean, even pre-COVID and, you know, this past year, you know, we've been going through all of these changes in the new normals that we talk about. Where do you see the industry going for people who are looking for that job, for that position in corporate? What are your suggestions for them as a career coach?
Right. Okay. So first of all, I have to say that COVID has changed there's a two-part. Has not changed networking. If it has changed networking, it just means that it's gotten better. And for a couple of different reasons. First of all, it's the tech, and then there's pandemic boredom. The tech, you know, so this is where it used to be and this is where it is now and where it's going to go.
Okay.
The tech, I was using tech for meetings online, you know, video for a while there, but most people were kind of like, you know, let's just still do the call. We can just do the call. Mm. Okay. No problem. Then the pandemic happened and anybody who was not even familiar with the technology really didn't have a choice but to begin to learn the technology. So at this point, and that's not just professional, that's also personal, where families felt like, you know, we can't go over to grandma and grandpa's right now and so forth. We started to learn the video. Mm-hmm. So now most people, and when I say most people, I mean around the world, whoever has a device has started to got, they've already gotten used to this whole thing. Then there's the pandemic boredom, which is simply to say that we all kind of got, you know, locked up and locked in and we haven't been social in the same ways, not in the workplace, not at the coffee shop, or even just roaming around to the grocery stores, right? And so now the combination between the technology and then the boredom leaves a really great opportunity to network because we have the convenience of being at home, complete control over the day. Right. We can work when we want to. The commutes aren't there in the same way. Mm-hmm. And because we haven't been social, even networking with complete strangers has completely changed in a good way because people are willing to meet. It's just the time. Now, where this is going to get very interesting.
Yeah.
Because of the familiarity of the tech, right? But then also 5G has been flipped on. We're going to see and hear more and more about it. I'm hearing talk actually around 6G already. And 5G is about 25 times faster than the bandwidth that we have right now. So what this means is this video thing, you know, if you run into kind of hitches and whatever when you're doing the video thing, that's going to go away. And the speeds are going to become so much faster that it's going to be very common to see people walking around in the park and wherever they are just doing full on video.
Right.
Some of the younger generations are already doing this because
they're already doing that. And actually, my service provider just sent us a new box last week and said, here's a new box because what you have now isn't going to keep up with the new 5G technology. So, so we already installed that.
Yeah. And the thing is that all of our tech as it is meant to more or less mimic human behavior, right? So for an example, if you and I were usually meeting at the coffee shop, well, now there's video. So we can still have coffee, but we're still seeing each other face to face, which is very important. So as this network and the speeds get faster, the next logical moves, and this is already happening, would be virtual reality. Yeah. So in a coffee shop, you know, I see you and I see everything else that goes around like this. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, now I just see you. Virtual reality in time is going to allow us to see more and more of the environment.
Yeah.
So this is going to grow. Yeah, this isn't going away. This is going to definitely go down that route.
So let's go jump back to then the question we had before about the virtual networking. So how is that all being impacted? And especially you talk about the impact of networking, you know, for so many things, you know, from business to personal. So how is that affecting on the networking that way?
How is the tech affecting or what exactly?
Well, the networking, you know, because you talk about networking and how important it is. So virtual networking, and we, in a sense, we can say we were already doing it. Use LinkedIn for an example. We were already doing that networking through virtual LinkedIn. It's not like, you know, you have to go down the street to, you know, a chamber networking event to meet folks. You know, you could do it internationally right on LinkedIn. So do you see any change there in terms of the networking and where we're going with that?
Oh, for sure. It's just going to explode. What we're talking about now that might seem like a mystery to some folks in short order is going to become more of a norm. This is going to become critical. And because meetings have always been more important and preferred to be in person, or I should say, at least eye to eye, now's the opportunity. And companies themselves are beginning to learn that they can save a lot of money by not having so many people in the office. So real estate and so forth. And so as people, less and less as people go, you know, into the buildings, more and more we're going to grow virtually. So this is huge. This is a big time.
I think it is huge, right? And it's changing the way we work. And I'm not too far from Washington, D.C. So we happen to be down that way recently. And you've seen all of these buildings that have for lease. And I actually had that conversation with my husband. I said, this is what's changing. All of these empty corporate buildings are really going to go by the wayside because everyone has gone virtual, and companies and corporations are seeing that that virtual space really is working as long as you can see, you know, like you said, the eye to eye, and you could see people, people working together. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, there's some things that they still have to look at and work out in terms of production and, you know, and making sure that that all happens, because some people, you know, let's face it, some people are just built to do that 9 to 5 in a cubicle. And so, you know, they have to really, you know, look at that and weigh that out. Of course, you know, my husband's in the aerospace industry, and he said for them, they couldn't do that. So that makes sense.
It'll be a little, it'll be a little different for some industries. You know, I've had clients who, for example, are event planners, and that space changes a little bit. That tends to be in person. And yet at the same time, they're utilizing the tech just as we are right now.
Yes.
It's going to impact everybody.
Right. Yeah, I know the meetings industry definitely took a hit last year, because one of my other businesses, as you know, is Talent Concierge. So we're a talent management agency, and we do get a lot of our talent speak for booking engagements. And yes, last year that just completely crashed. But with that, the opportunities came. So a lot of them, like myself included, have always used technology. And so when last year happened, it really wasn't a change for us in terms of the technology use. Of course, you know, we lost a lot of business because the meetings industry and a lot of meetings were canceled. But now they're all coming back and they're set to do virtual. And they've invested in those virtual technologies. And we've helped a lot of those event planners, because there's still that fear of, what if the technology crashes? What if the internet doesn't work? So there's a lot of those fears. But I think once we get beyond those fears, and they're using those right tools or having those tools in place to avoid a lot of that from happening. And even what we did with our talent, all of our talent, all of our speakers, we have them get certified, virtually certified presenters, and set up, and we've even tested them, and we're actually putting a new standard in place for them of how they have to have their studio set up, so we can, you know, give that confidence to the meeting planners that these certain things won't happen. So it's definitely changed our industry. It's changed so many industries. But again, I'm always the optimist. I look for the positive, and, you know, what changes can we take? What can we embrace? And again, with that, a lot of things will have to go. And so, you know, that is
kind of see this growing, and it is growing in parallel, because as you say, you know, as things kind of come back to normal, we're going to start meeting in person. Well, the tech is already starting to take off and bloom. But if there's another thing that we've learned in this last year, is how important it is to actually have an interpersonal, like a real life interpersonal dynamic. So I actually see the in-person stuff growing in importance in the same way at the same time. Both of these things are going to happen. We've learned, in other words, we've learned that we need human contact.
Right. We're humans, and it is human that we do have that human contact. And even if it was a virtual conversation, you know, with your family, it was still, again, better than nothing. But I know, and I still haven't, I've seen my son recently. I still haven't even seen my daughter, and she's in a totally other state, and her husband's in the military. So she's basically grounded. And I know when I get to see her, we're going to be like crying, because we just, although we talk like this all the time, but, you know, to get and see each other face to face and just be able to embrace. But you're right. We need that physical interaction for our life to breathe. We just have to have that.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I'm watching, I've heard lots of stories. I'm sure you have too. I'm sure we all have, that people who haven't been able to see each other. But, you know, if we tie this back into networking, the cornerstone of networking is relationship building. Right. And you can build somewhat of a relationship, you know, over video. But I think everybody would agree, it's a same conversation, two different places, over video or in person, and it will become a different discussion.
It will.
That vibe and the energy that is between the two people is critically important to relationship building.
Right.
So I would say maybe you could get to know someone over video. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some familiarity and those kinds of things, but when you're in person, just a different thing. And I don't think you can let go of that.
No, we can't. We just can't ever let go of that. You're absolutely right. And I've made many relationships, even with my clients through video. And we have an event coming up in May. And I will have my shot before I go there, because I'm going, because we're also going to be visiting clients at the same time. And I just, you know, we feel like we're so close to them, but yet we've never met in person.
Right, right. That's exactly it. Even over the, you know, over the days on the phone, oh, I can't wait to meet you in person. This will be so great and so forth. And you, I've had a couple of jobs over the years where like a year, 2 years had passed before I actually met those people.
Yeah.
And it is a joyous moment, even though you've been talking forever, but you get to see them in person.
Yes. And when, and it's like an old friend, you know, when you see them in person, it's like, you know,
it really
old friend
is,
that, you're, that you're catching up with. So I know we're digressing here. But all of the, but it's okay. It's okay. Anything
That's
goes
right.
here. That's right. We do it.
We're so the crazy ones.
No. Right. We're the crazy ones. So I do have a couple things. Now, you know, we have to shift and you're now in the hot seat. So, So a couple of questions. We start easy. So if you can finish this sentence for me, I am unstoppable because
of my attitude.
Okay.
You want more of a sentence than that?
No, that's good. No, your attitude is good. Love it. I love it. What do you think, in your opinion, what is your opinion that the greatest challenge we have in the world right now?
The way that we listen to each other and the way that we speak to one another. I think all the time we ask each other questions that are like the everyday normal questions, but we really don't listen to what's being asked. So for example, how are you? How is your morning? How's the day going? And we tend to go, it's like a black or white answer that we end up giving. Yes, no, good, bad, right? But if we were really taking care about how we ask a question, how has your morning been? Right. And we answer the question, my morning, my weekend hasn't been so great. Then we're giving forth more information and that allows more communication. But right now, I think that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah. And it does. And it definitely does. So all of the work that you've been doing, and incredible work, will you ever be satisfied with what you're doing?
I think the answer is I am satisfied with what I am doing, but I'm not done. I think I'm just getting rolling. I'm satisfied because I get the feedback and I get to help people, many, many people on a daily basis that helps with a really important aspect of their lives, which tends to be career. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction, but there's just more to do. So I'm not satisfied with everything that I've got to do yet.
You got more to do. You got more work to do. So during this past year, during COVID, what is something that you learned about yourself that you didn't realize or know before?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that's going to be more of a professional side for me. It might be around production values. I was in the entertainment industry, right, for 20 years, and it's all these different things. But what I've realized is that there are more of my skill sets that come from past experiences that are coming into play now. And it's helping me immensely, because there once upon a time, you know, 20 years in the entertainment industry as a performer, as a producer, as a director, all these different things. Well, I think a lot of people listening to this would feel the same. You know, I had a different kind of job before I have now, and I wish I could utilize some of those skills from back then to make things easier now. I think I learned more than I actually knew.
Surprise yourself a little bit. So how do you want the world to hear from you?
How, not what?
Either or. But I was asking how do you want them to hear from you?
I think what I would like the world to hear from me is that relationships and relationship building is the utmost importance of everything that we've got to do. We need each other. And we all know different stuff and we all have different experiences. Right now, I think there's sort of a fear that other people don't want to help us. That people aren't willing to help, but by nature we do. That is the message. People want to help, and we should also be helping without expectation. That's probably the biggest message. Because once that gets through, if anybody has ever had the experience where you've offered help for someone and you can see the expression on their face, how the gratitude for that, and vice versa, if you've ever been helped by somebody, the feeling of gratitude, what it makes you feel is that you want to do that again for other people. There's no cost. It's just time and knowledge that you might have. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think that's it. That's a good question, Connie.
Hey, so what's your favorite dance move?
Dance move. I can say that my favorite dance might be salsa. I'm not sure if there's a single move in salsa, but
I would say salsa. You're not going to give us a demonstration.
No, not right now.
Well, if there was a song about you, then what would it be?
Oh, if there was a song about me, it would be a song. Gosh, it's going to keep going back to this relationship building. So it'd be like a country song or like an old blues song that would start with life looked like this first. Okay. And then it got like this next. And then it got better. And now it's the best.
Ooh, awesome, awesome, awesome. So you have a lot of incredible things going on right now, Nathan. So what's next? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, so I'm actually beginning to create my own podcast, and I have two books that are on the slate. One of them is going to be kind of a companion and follow-up to the 20-minute networking meeting where we get a little deeper into what networking is really about and how to look at it a little differently. And then I'm actually going to probably return to my roots and get back to a fiction book. I have about 10 years worth of notes on a very specific book that I want to write. So that'll probably be next for me too.
Oh, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Love to hear more about that. That's about it that we have for today, Nathan. I feel like we can just keep on talking. Really love chatting with you. But why don't you let our listeners know where they can learn more about you and also grab a copy of your book?
Yeah, so you can find the books on Amazon. You can get them through the Kindle app. You can get them on iTunes. Barnes & Noble, you can order it from any bookstore. If you'd like an audiobook version, and this is where you can also find me, you can find that at nathanaperez.com. And there's a separate book site that is 20mnm.com, as in the 20-minute networking meeting. And LinkedIn, find me on LinkedIn. I post a lot of material there too.
You certainly do. I know we've connected on there. So Nathan, I want to thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here. And you're just a joy to sit here and chat with. I just feel like we're, again, just chatting with an old friend. So you're always, always invited back.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying so. And I appreciate you having me on the show. So thank you too.
No, that's great. So thank you all for being here. This is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva. And go out this week and be kind to yourself and be kind to your neighbors. Just lend that helping hand because you just don't know who's, you know, what someone will need. And like Nathan had said, sometimes you reach out to somebody and you say, hey, how's your day? And they're just going to say, hey, great. But really, sometimes you need to dig down just a little bit more because, again, you just never know what they're going through. So I'm Connie Fife. You're here listening with us on The Connie Fife Show. Have a fabulous week, and we'll see you next time. And remember, we are unstoppable together. Hey, y'all, it's Connie Fife. Thank you for listening to The Connie Fife Show. Check back often. You don't want to miss any of the good stuff. If you like what you hear and would like to be a guest on the show, head over to theconniefifeshow.com to apply. While you're there, check out our amazing advertising opportunities that will put you right in front of your perfect client. I will see you over there. Do yourself a favor this week. Activate your power and be unstoppable together.